Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso. It's sunny weather as we're recording our show, but the National Weather Service is warning of high winds and rainfall across our region this week, so keep your umbrella handy, and if you're on the roadways, folks, please drive carefully. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso. Today, we open our show with a warning from MTS about tuberculosis found in trolley riders, one of whom's route included East County for several months last year. Then we'll have a special report on water rates in Padre Dam Municipal Water District, where ratepayers will be getting some relief. A fiery collision of two trucks in Alpine proved fatal for one of the drivers, and we'll have details. The FHA is expanding a program started during the pandemic to now offer help for many more borrowers facing potential foreclosure, even if mispayments were not due to COVID-19. Then on Tribal Beat, hear how the Hamul Casino and Hamul Indian Village are commemorating Black History Month and honoring their own casino general manager, a Black woman who has pioneered leadership in the casino industry. Today we also remember Dane Terry, a beloved local blues musician from El Cajon, who was killed in a tragic collision caused by a driver who ran a red light and has been arrested. On Green Scene, learn the latest on efforts to build wildlife crossings over highways in California and how that relates to climate change. On Sounds of History, hear about freed slaves who became pioneering Black settlers in Julian during the Gold Rush days, all as part of our tribute to Black History Month. Then on Destination East County, we'll have an array of upcoming events as Spring Fest approaches, from Black History Month to Fido Fest, from birdwatching tips to the return of Hooli Fest, Touch a Truck, a Liars Contest in the Desert, a Harmonica Festival in La Mesa, and a Chili Festival in Lemon Grove. From California News Service, we'll have some good news about more students attaining higher education goals, including degrees in our state. And then from Public News Service, we'll have some national news stories, including Vice President Kamala Harris accusing Russian President Vladimir Putin of crimes against humanity, the cost to taxpayers of that sweeping new bill to help veterans exposed to toxins, and more. We'll also have some health news today, including a troubling report on nursing homes over-medicating elderly patients, and fentanyl being sold on shelves of Mexican pharmacies, where the deadly drug has been laced into pain pills and other medications sold over-the-counter south of the border. And finally, we'll be taking a look back at the life and times of Raquel Welch, the movie star who died recently and who had her roots right here in San Diego County. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
This is John Tidwell with a health alert. If you rode the trolley's blue and orange lines between June 31st and December 31st last year, you may have been exposed to tuberculosis, TB, and at risk of infection. The Orange Line services East County, running from El Cajon through La Mesa, Lemon Grove, and San Diego to Imperial. The Blue Line runs from Imperial south to the border area in San Ysidro. Metropolitan Transit System and County's Health and Human Services Agency this week announced the exposure for riders on the blue and orange lines during morning and evening commute times. Two other MTS riders with TB were reported in August and September. Additional lab testing will be used to determine if there may be linkages between these riders. Tuberculosis is an airborne disease that is transmitted from person to person through inhaling bacteria from the air. The bacteria are spread when someone sick with TB coughs, speaks, sings, or breathes. Passengers who may have been exposed are advised to consult with their medical provider or contact the San Diego County TB program. Since TB is a curable disease with proper treatment, even if the disease is latent and not yet producing symptoms, a simple skin prick test or blood test can determine if you've been infected. Symptoms of active TB include persistent cough, fever, night sweats, and unexplained weight loss. But most people exposed to TB don't get sick right away. They may become ill months or even years later if their latent TB is not treated. Even people with active tuberculosis are often unaware they have the disease and may be contagious for several months before being diagnosed. Active TB can be treated with antibiotics. People who test positive for TB but who don't have symptoms should get a chest x-ray and talk to a medical provider, as they most likely have a latent TB infection. Taking medicines for latent TB infection can cure the infection and keep these people from getting sick. The number of people diagnosed with active TB in San Diego County has decreased since the early 1990s and has stabilized in recent years at around 200 cases a year over the past several years. But an estimated 175,000 people in San Diego County have latent TB infection and are at risk for developing active TB without preventive treatment. You can get more information by calling the County TB Control Program at 619-692-8621.
Customers of Padre Dam Municipal Water District in East County are getting some relief on their usually hefty bills, thanks to a vote last year by its board to freeze rate increases over 5 years. But Padre Dam still has the highest water rates in San Diego County. But that freeze only applies to internal rate increases, not those imposed by outside agencies such as the San Diego County Water Authority and San Diego Gas and Electric, both of which are charging more for their services. Aware that those entities were imposing price hikes, Padre Dam's 5-member board decided in June to use funds it received from a big legal settlement with a prolonged legal battle between the County Water Authority, or CWA, and the Metropolitan Water Authority in Los Angeles. Padre Dam's share of that settlement was nearly $2.3 million, which offsets higher water rates starting last year. But those allocations still won't protect customers from higher bills starting in July when this year's legal settlement subsidy expires, said Padre Dam CEO General Manager Kyle Swanson. Due to CWA's higher rates, the typical Padre Dam customer will see their water bill jump by 3% monthly, or about $4.17. That means the typical residential customer's bill will rise from just under $128 to $132.13. Because of increased hikes by SDG&E, those Padre Dam customers paying for pumping costs will see their bills rise by another $2.31, the district says. According to Swanson, about 40% of Padre Dam's customers are affected by the higher electricity costs. In a press statement about the rate freeze, Padre Dam says the board made the decision to provide some relief in the face of unprecedented higher inflation and because of, quote, the district's strong financial position of the water and wastewater operating funds, end quote. According to the district's annual report for the 2022 fiscal year that ended June 30th, all four Padre Dam divisions, potable water, sewer, recycled water, and Santee Lakes Park, showed net profits totaling over $22 million. Swanson says that the district does not make any profits and that all excess cash after operating expenses, debt, and capital replacement costs are subtracted goes back into the reserve balance. Among the biggest planned expenses Padre Dam has in partnership with four other agencies is the Advanced Water Purification Program, which began construction last May. The project will take around 15 million gallons of sewage now pumped to San Diego's Point Loma treatment plant and instead send it to a massive new treatment and purification plant just north of Santee Lakes to produce over 11 million gallons of potable water. The goal is to reduce dependence on importing water and provide up to 30% of our region's drinking water supply, as well as reducing wastewater discharge into the Pacific Ocean. The cost of the Advanced Water Purification Project, or AWP, has nearly doubled from initial projections and is now estimated to cost about $950 million. That expense is shared by the City of El Cajon, San Diego County, Helix Water District, and Padre Dam. Padre officials say AWP should stabilize customer bills because the district would have a local supply of water at lower costs than buying it from the County Water Authority. The Santee-based Padre Dam Water District covers 73 square miles and serves parts of El Cajon, Lakeside, Flint Springs, Harbison Canyon, Blossom Valley, Alpine, Dehesa, and Crest. Padre's size and the fact that water must be pumped to higher elevations are the main reasons for the district's historically exorbitant rates. According to a rate study done by the Otay Water District, Padre Dam's water rate for last year was the highest among the 24 water districts in the county at nearly $137 per month. The next highest was Ramona at just over $121. Lakeside was the lowest with a typical monthly bill of only $65, less than half what Padre Dam customers are paying. Brett Sanders, Lakeside's general manager, says his district benefits from having a local source of groundwater that provides about 20% of the supply. Quote, "Our overhead is low, and we try to outsource a lot of different functions, such as engineering and architectural," end quote, he says. Lakeside services about 7,000 connections versus about 39,000 connections for Padre Dam. Mark Roback, president of the board of Otay Water District in Spring Valley, says there are too many water districts in San Diego County. Each of these government agencies employ highly paid executives and staffers and routinely hire high-paid consultants to manage expensive pipelines and other infrastructure to deliver water. Roback says he talked about consolidations of districts when he served on the Padre Dam board from 1996 to 2000. One potential merger between Otay and Helix water districts didn't happen because some board members didn't want to lose their jobs, he recalls. The reason why consolidations of water districts don't happen, he told East County Magazine, is, quote, because of the directors, they don't want to lose their seats, end quote. One small merger that did occur in 2006 between Lakeside and Riverview water districts resulted in cost savings that helped customers in the merged district enjoy the lowest rates in the county, according to Sanders. Before, there were two general managers. The merger also streamlined administrative and operating staffs. At Helix Water District in La Mesa, with a service area of about 50 square miles and a population of 277,000, the average monthly bill this year is just over $89. But that doesn't include sewer, says Helix spokesperson Mike Erhammer. Although consolidating could save money for customers, practically all the water officials told East County Magazine that they are opposed to mergers. Erhammer says water has always been super local. Sanders says, "I like to see local control of government agencies," adding, "Special districts have a positive influence on the community and can be efficient." At Padre Dam, Swanson says people enjoy the ability to come in person into the office and personally reach out to board members. He notes, "When you get larger, sometimes you lose some of those conveniences," end quote. For a merger to be considered by Padre to provide rate relief for customers, Swanson concludes, it would have to come from interest in the community. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
A fiery collision of two trucks in Alpine has resulted in death of one of the drivers. On February 13th, shortly after 6:30 p.m., a Kenworth tractor pulling an enclosed trailer rear-ended a Peterbilt truck with a car carrier on Interstate 8 west of Tavern Road. The Kenworth truck caught fire and the driver died at the scene. The collision caused shutdown of Interstate 8 East for several hours. Due to possible fire damage, the Tavern Road overpass remained closed for over 24 hours until Caltrans could inspect it for safety. The driver of the Peterbilt was not injured. The name of the deceased driver of the Kenworth has not yet been released. According to Officer Jared Grieshaber with the California Highway Patrol, this is an ongoing investigation, and it is unknown if alcohol and/or drugs were a factor in the crash. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
To help homeowners during rising interest rates, the FHA has announced that its programs to help homeowners impacted by COVID-19 have been extended to help all eligible borrowers who are struggling to avoid foreclosure, regardless of the reason for their hardship. These changes will remain available for at least the next 18 months. During the pandemic, over 2 million homeowners were able to stay in their homes thanks to programs that allowed them to obtain loan modifications or forbearances. Marcia Fudge, Secretary of the U.S. Housing and Urban Development Agency, says, "Although the pandemic has ended, the economic effects will remain a challenge for the foreseeable future. These impactful and effective foreclosure prevention tools will help struggling borrowers find the right option to help them get back on their feet and keep them in their homes," she says. In the last 2 years, FHA has helped 1.8 million mortgage holders enter into an agreement with their mortgage servicer to have their mortgage payments paused or reduced, known as forbearance, due to COVID-19. Additionally, 1.2 million were able to resume payments and put any amounts in arrears at the end of their mortgage to obtain a loan modification that reduced their payment to avoid foreclosure. For borrowers of color specifically, the FHA helped 800,000 individuals and families of color through forbearance and nearly 500,000 borrowers through a loss mitigation option. The expanded FHA program for all borrowers includes increasing the amount of interest-free payments on loan amounts in arrears that borrowers can defer paying until the end of their mortgage term. The mandatory effective date of the changes is April 30th, but mortgage servicers may begin offering these options to borrowers immediately. Currently, there are around 58,000 borrowers working with their servicer to finalize an option to avoid foreclosure who might benefit from the new FHA rules. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is John Tidwell.
An ice storm in January caused major damage to KNSJ's antenna high atop Monument Peak on Mount Laguna, knocking this station off the radio airways. If you're listening to our show today on the internet live stream, please donate to help get us back on the air in San Diego and East County. You can make a donation at knsj.org. And thank you for your support of local nonprofit media. We represent your interests, the public interest, not special interests.
This is the East County Magazine Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities. This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine's Tribal Beat Report. The Jamul Indian Village of California Tribe and the Jamul Casino have joined in this month's Black History Month observations to celebrate the rich history, culture, and contributions of Black Americans. Tribal Chairwoman Erica Pinto says this month, "We acknowledge and appreciate the historical contributions of the Black community while also recognizing the role and impact of the systemic barriers to racial equality that still exist today. Black History Month is time for us to reflect, learn, and continue the fight for racial justice." On February 4th, the Jamul Casino hosted a luncheon honoring two local heroic women of color, healthcare advocate Dr. Suzanne Affalo and Wendy Shirelds, founder and CEO of Many Shades of Pink. Both women work to improve health care in the African-American community. The casino has committed to donate $10,000 to Many Shades of Pink, an organization that provides support and resources to African-American breast cancer patients. Throughout February, the casino is featuring 31 important figures on the digital screens in the casino and on its social media channels, highlighting both historical and present-day African-American leaders. The Tribe and Hummel Casino continue to make donations and support the County of San Diego's Black Chamber of Commerce. In addition, Hummel Casino hosted a Black History Month dinner at its rooftop venue on February 11th called Motown Memories, which brought the hits of Motown to the stage with songs by The Supremes, Marvin Gaye, Gladys Knight, Jackson 5, Stevie Wonder, The Temptations, and more. President and General Manager of Hummel Casino, Mary Cheeks, says we're excited to recognize the African-American community's contributions to our culture and be part of creating a brighter, richer, more inclusive future for the next generation. Now, Cheeks herself is widely considered an African-American forerunner in the gaming industry. She has risen to the top of the casino management ladder as Hummel Casino's president and general manager. She's one of only a handful of women in the nation to achieve this title in casino leadership, overseeing many initiatives that help the casino's growth and success. The San Diego Business Journal honored her with the prestigious Business Women of the Year Award in 2021, as well as naming Cheeks one of San Diego's top Black 50 leaders of influence in 2022. Her achievements have set the stage for future growth toward equality and serve as a role model for African-American women in gaming professions and beyond.
Dane Terry, co-founder of the Cadillac Records Jazz and Blues Band, lost his life February 13th of injuries sustained when an SUV ran a red light in San Carlos and struck the motorcycle he was riding. The El Cajon resident was 67 years old and has lived in San Diego County since 1987. Known as Mr. Chromatonic, Terry was widely known and respected among San Diego's music community. His music interest began early in life when his parents gave him a harmonica before he started school. Later, he sang in church and played with several blues band before founding a harmonica trio and later the Cadillac Records Band, in which Terry played harmonica as well as serving as vocalist. The band has performed jazz, blues, and dance music at popular venues across the county, including House of Blues, Humphrey's Backstage Live, and the Gator by the Bay Festival. They also performed at many East County venues, including street festivals, Spring Harp Fest in La Mesa, Hooley's Irish Pub and Grill, Main Tap Tavern, and Winola Pizza and Bistro. He was also a member of a bluesgrass band headed by Chris Clark. On February 13th, shortly before 6 a.m., Terry was on his way to his day job as a locksmith at the University of San Diego when the collision with a Kia Soul occurred at Navajo Road and Bisbee Lake Road. Terry was ejected off his Yamaha motorcycle onto the roadway. He was transported to Sharp Memorial Hospital in San Diego, where he was declared dead. The driver of the Kia, a 51-year-old San Diego woman, was arrested by San Diego police. Fellow musician Chris Clark recalled Terry's talent as a musician, stating he played with a tremendous amount of heart and soul, and that's what separated him from a lot of players, 10 News reports. Clark has set up a GoFundMe page to help Dane Terry's family. Terry is survived by his wife, Tammy, and two adult children, Haley and Derek. A celebration of life for Dane Terry is scheduled for February 25th at 5 p.m. at Heroes Restaurant in Winola, near Julian. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Wildlife crossings save lives, both human and animal, by allowing migrating species to avoid oncoming traffic and move over or under roads and freeways instead. Now a coalition of scientists, nonprofits, and government agencies are highlighting their potential to help us adapt to climate change. The partnership has just published an open letter calling on policymakers to prioritize climate resilience as roads and bridges are built or repaired using the funds from the 2021 infrastructure bill. Renee Callahan with ARC Solutions co-wrote the letter.
Why don't we take advantage of this once-in-a-generation window of opportunity to not only rebuild one of the world's greatest transportation networks, and why don't we build it even better so that it works for people, wildlife, and also in the face of our changing climate?
Callahan says transportation projects should be engineered to add extra decks over bridges and to widen culverts under roads to benefit wildlife. The open letter calls for greater cooperation between tribes and local agencies. Matt Scraw with the Pew Charitable Trusts says wider culverts would improve biodiversity by allowing animals large and small to migrate from elk to toads, and the culverts would improve resiliency during extreme weather events.
We can design those structures to not only facilitate the passage of water as flooding continues to occur in the future, but we can also think about how these culverts and bridges can accommodate terrestrial wildlife movement as well.
Supporters broke ground last year on a state-of-the-art wildlife crossing over the 101 freeway in Agoura Hills, primarily to facilitate the movement of cougars. Data shows that properly sited and built, wildlife crossings can reduce mortality by 97%. Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
To ease the crisis-level shortage of veterinarians in California that is acutely affecting access to care for vulnerable pets, including those in shelters, Assemblywoman Kati Petri-Norris has introduced Assembly Bill 1237, the California Public Interest Veterinary Debt Relief Act, in Sacramento. The bill is co-sponsored by the San Diego Humane Society and by the San Francisco SPCA. AB 1237 aims to attract existing veterinarians to practices where demand is great in California by providing state and private funding to apply toward their school loans. The new state program will offer payments of up to $150,000 in educational debt relief to licensed California veterinarians who agree to work for a California animal shelter or in underserved communities for at least 5 years. With private practice veterinarians already struggling to keep up with demand, resulting in waits for appointments of weeks to months, the supply of reduced-rate veterinary services is now nearly non-existent. California shelters caring for our state's most vulnerable pets have been hit equally hard, and they're struggling to provide or access veterinary care for their animals. The pandemic, coupled with consolidation of veterinary clinics by national chains, has exacerbated the shortage of affordable care. Here in San Diego County, many pet owners have been shocked to find that when an emergency occurs with their pet, very few clinics offer 24-hour services, and those that do often have waits of 4 to 10 hours or more, a situation that can cost pets' lives. Residents in rural or mountain areas may have to drive 1 to 2 hours to seek emergency veterinary care here, and even routine care costs have become prohibitively high for many pet owners. Dr. Gary Weitzman, the president and CEO of San Diego Humane Society, says the veterinary shortage is one of the most serious challenges we face today in animal welfare. We have to take action to attract more veterinarians to practice in California, especially in shelters. He adds, we also have to think about what this veterinary shortage means for vulnerable pets and their owners throughout the state. Assemblywoman Petri-Norris, the bill's author, says with veterinary school debt averaging nearly $200,000, it's no wonder we have a vet shortage. She adds, it's cruel to allow pets to suffer prolonged illnesses. By alleviating the stress of education debt, we can increase veterinary care access for the nearly 350,000 California shelter animals who are waiting for life-saving treatment. Supporters say there are 3 top reasons why the California Public Interest Veterinary Debt Relief Act is needed. First, veterinarians have the second highest monthly debt-to-income ratio among graduate degree holders. According to an American Veterinary Medical Association survey in 2020, the average vet school debt was nearly $189,000 and growing at about $6,000 a year. The debt load for these graduating veterinarians makes it next to impossible for them to choose to practice in the sheltering or community service space. Second, lack of access to basic care is leading to an increased length of stay for animals in shelters across the state. A recent survey of California animal shelters reveals that less than half can consistently provide treatment for even non-routine illness or injury that requires a veterinarian's assessment, and 40% of shelter respondents are unable to consistently perform life-saving and legally required spay and neuter surgeries. Third, 60% of open shelter veterinary positions remain vacant right now due to a lack of candidates. Of 111 shelters in California that responded to a survey, 73 have full-time veterinary positions open, and 82 have full-time registered vet tech positions open. Dr. Jennifer Scarlett, CEO of the San Francisco SPCA, says hundreds of thousands of animals in California don't have access to adequate veterinary care. CalMatters reports. She says, inequitable access to veterinary care is the greatest threat to companion animal welfare today. This debt relief legislation would help California animals get the care they need and deserve. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week.
This is Jonathan Getz.
And this is Miriam Raftery with Destination East County.
We've got some amazing events coming up this week, including the Love Your Heart Fair in Ramona, a Black History Celebration in Lemon Grove, Touch a Truck in Lakeside, and Fido Fest in Santee.
Plus, we'll have a preview of coming attractions, including a Saving Songbirds program at Mission Trails, a chili cook-off in Lemon Grove, a bathhouse bazaar in Hukumba Hot Springs, the return of Hooli Fest in La Mesa, and the Pegleg Smith Liars contest in Borrego Springs.
The County of San Diego invites you to its Love Your Heart Community Fair on Saturday, February 25th from noon to 3 p.m. at the Ramona Library. You can learn about good heart health and how to control your blood pressure. Get a complimentary blood pressure check and a blood pressure monitor to take home. Plus, there will be information booths, a Ramona Heart Murals Walk, and food distribution. In addition, the fair includes vaccines available free for COVID-19 and flu, as well as naloxone distribution to prevent overdoses.
Lemon Grove's Black History Celebration will take place on Saturday, February 25th, from 1 to 5 p.m. at Traganza Heritage Park. The celebration will include spoken word, drumming, African dancers, music, artists, art, youth activities, steppers, soul food vendors, food trucks, and special community recognition of local Black businesses and organizations. The annual event is hosted by Thrive Lemon Grove, a nonprofit group. This event is a unity celebration, so everybody is welcome to join the fun at this day of celebrating culture and diversity.
Fido Fest, the largest dog festival in East County, will be presented by the City of Santee on Saturday, February 25th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Dog adoptions, giveaways, a dog agility course, and much more will be available at the event held at Town Center Community Park East.
Other activities include a hay bale mountain, off-leash tennis ball mania, doggy cakewalk, as well as arfs and crafts for your budding paw casso. There's also a dog costume contest, plus prizes for the biggest and smallest dog and best trick. Microchipping and pet licensing will be available for a small fee. There's also a shelter donation drive to help local nonprofit pet shelters. Bring an item to donate, such as a leash, dog toy, or pet store gift card, and you can be entered to win great doggy gift baskets. All dogs must be on a leash, be up to date on vaccinations, and comfortable in a crowd.
You can find more information at phytofestsantee.com.
North America's songbird population has declined dramatically in the last 50 years, and the most significant cause of the decline is loss of habitat. In a lecture on Thursday, March 2nd at 6 p.m. at Mission Trails Regional Parks Visitor Center, Kay Charter of the nonprofit Saving Birds Through Habitat will offer tips on creating habitat in your own yard to help songbirds thrive. All attendees will receive a book on birds, a list of songbird-friendly plants native to the San Diego region, and other resources to help grow the songbird population. You can find more information at the Mission Trails Regional Park website at mtrp.org.
Telling a whopper is usually taboo, but at the Peg Leg Liars contest, you can win prizes for spinning the best tall tale. After a 2-year hiatus due to COVID, the contest is back. It will be held on Saturday, March 4th, at the American Legion Post in Borrego Springs, starting at dusk. Begun informally back in 1916, the event is the longest ongoing storytelling competition in the West. The contest is named after Thomas Smith, known as Peg Leg, after he lost a leg when he was struck by an arrow and had a wooden limb fashioned. A real-life mountain man, fur trapper, horse thief, trader, and tall teller extraordinaire, Peg Leg Smith boasted of finding a fortune in black gold nuggets atop a desert butte. He claimed to have mistaken them for copper until he had them tested in Los Angeles and learned they were gold, but he was never able to return to find them. Over 30 prospectors since the 1880s have died searching for this bonanza, though it's unknown whether Peg Leg's gold is a real lost treasure waiting to be found, a myth he made up, or if someone already found the treasure and kept it. There are several fragments of stories from Indians and a miner who claim to have seen the black gold, perhaps supporting Peg Leg's claim. Some believe that treasure may still remain waiting to be claimed somewhere in the West, perhaps even in the Anza Borrego Desert. Peg Leg died in 1966, and he's commemorated with a California historical landmark in Anza Borrego Desert State Park. Now, at the Peg Leg Liars contest, entries are judged based on presentation, originality, costumes, and whether Peg Leg is mentioned. All contestants get a trophy and certificate of participation, and there's also a youth division. The event is open to the public, with food and drinks for purchase. It is organized by the Committee to Accumulate Curious Tales of Incredibility, or CACTI. According to the Borrego Sun newspaper, liars are always in demand, and you needn't be an expert. Any subject is acceptable, as long as it's not profane. Funny, bizarre, and nonsensical tall tales are appreciated, the Sun advises. Now, as for what to wear, the Sun suggests a wide range of options, from Western wear to tuxedos.
Lakeside Chamber of Commerce invites you to touch a truck, an experience geared towards the kid in all of us. Guests can touch and see a wide variety of vehicles, trucks, and equipment when this event rolls out in Lakeside on Sunday, February 26th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information and local details, visit lakesidechamber.org. Hot times are in store for guests at the Lemon Grove Lions Club Chili Cook-Off Fundraiser on Saturday, March 4th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Lemon Grove Community Center. There is an admission fee, which includes chili tasting, live music, hot dogs, and water. Raffle tickets will also be available to purchase.
Music, food, fun, and a wide variety of vendors will be available during the Bathhouse Bazaar in Hukumba Hot Springs. The next Bathhouse Bazaar will be held on March 4th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the corner of Old Highway 80 and Hukumba Street.
Hooli Fest, the biggest St. Patrick's Day celebration in East County, will return after a hiatus, and this year the celebrating will span 3 days from March 17th through the 19th at Hooli's Irish Pub and Grill in La Mesa's Grossmont Center. Sure, and you can enjoy live Irish music such as the Rebel Celts, hoist a pint of Guinness, and savor traditional Irish foods and cheer. For more information, you can visit hoolies.com.
Local and national stars will be playing American Blues harmonica music at Spring Harp Fest. The Family Fun event, which raises money to benefit music education countywide, will be held April 8th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Harry Griffin Park in La Mesa. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around East County!
Thank you.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show, and now it's time for the Sounds of History. Many San Diego County residents have visited Julian, a historic gold rush town in the Cuyamaca Mountains in San Diego's East County. Some may also know that it was founded by former Confederate soldiers after the Civil War, but most are likely unaware of the black settlers, who also played key roles in the town's history. In fact, it was Fred Coleman from Kentucky, a freed slave and rancher who discovered gold in a stream that started Julian's gold rush in 1869. Coleman married a member of the Santa Isabel Indian tribe. He had previously been a miner in Northern California. The Coleman Mining District, in what is today known as Julian, was named for him, and he served as its first recorder. America Newton, a widow and formerly enslaved black woman, and her daughter Clara came to Julian from Kansas and started a laundry business that served war veterans, European immigrants, Native Americans, and newly freed African Americans. She used her work ethic to build a new life of freedom. In 1897, Albert Robinson, another black man, who was likely once a slave, founded the Hotel Robinson along with his wife, Margaret. The Julian Hotel is still in operation today and is a designated historical landmark. According to Smithsonian Magazine, Newton, Robinson, and Coleman confronted severe obstacles, racism, poverty, and lawlessness that pervaded the region, making their accomplishments even more remarkable. While African Americans in the post-Civil War era were often unable to find a job, in Julian, those who started their own businesses fared better. America Newton worked as a housekeeper for a man named James Cole back in Kansas, and he accompanied her and her daughter to California. Cole helped Newton file to own an 80-acre homestead just outside of Julian and built her a cabin next door to his own home. She ran her business from her cabin, carrying buckets of water from a spring nearby and heating irons over a grill in the fireplace, also chopping her own wood and driving a horse and buggy to deliver clean wash. And for those who stopped by her business, she'd also serve up water or a homemade liquor drink along with local gossip. Valerie Ashley, co-founder of the Julian African American Pioneers History Committee, once said, "Everybody knew America, and America knew everything about what was going on in Julian." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
Some good news to report on college attainment rates. The number of students who have earned a degree, certificate, or credential has jumped 16% from 2009 to 2021, according to the new Stronger Nation report from Lumina Foundation. The report finds a 55.8% attainment rate for Californians ages 25 to 64. Courtney Brown with Lumina Foundation says while students of all races made progress, Latino attainment in California stands at just over 22% compared to almost 60% for white students.
Although we saw that 2.5 percentage point almost jump in attainment for the Latinos and Hispanic population and almost 2 percentage points for Black Americans, you can see that incredible disparities continue to exist between Black Americans and Latino Americans on one end and white Americans on the other end.
Last year, Governor Gavin Newsom set a goal that 70% of the adult population should have some post-secondary education by 2030. The top five counties with the highest percentage of students with an associate's degree or higher are all in the Bay Area, while rural Lassen County in the far northeastern part of the state has the lowest rate at just over 18%. Michelle Siqueiros with the Campaign for College Opportunity says schools need to make it much easier for community college students to transfer to a four-year school.
The transfer rates from community college to our four-year universities and completion rates in general at the community colleges is very low, especially for Black and Latinx students. So we've got to do a better job of supporting students to complete a degree and to transfer.
The report also finds that in order to compete, California will need to significantly increase the number of people who enroll in programs and earn all types of credentials beyond high school. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the mountains to the sea.
An ice storm in January caused major damage to KNSJ's antenna high atop Monument Peak on Mount Laguna, knocking this station off the radio airways. If you're listening to our show today on the internet live stream, please donate to help get us back on the air in San Diego and East County. You can make a donation at knsj.org. And thank you for your support of local nonprofit media. We represent your interests, the public interest, not special interests.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
We know the legal standards, and there is no doubt these are crimes against humanity.
Vice President Kamala Harris is making clear the U.S. position that Russia will be held to account for war crimes in Ukraine. She spoke at the Munich Security Conference Saturday. Top Republican lawmakers are now calling on the Biden administration to send fighter jets and more missiles to Kyiv as the war approaches its one-year anniversary. Democratic Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan tells CNN that if Congress is truly America's house, then Americans deserve to watch what happens inside.
What the American people were able to see unfold on the floor was a good thing for our democracy and our republic, right?
Following the captivating and unusually close coverage of the House Speaker votes earlier this year, C-SPAN is asking that its cameras be allowed to more freely follow action on the floor. Opponents say that would lead to grandstanding. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham tells ABC News he has no concerns about the testimony he gave to a Georgia grand jury or where that probe might lead.
The grand jury analysis that there was no widespread fraud in Georgia, I agree with that.
Graham was subpoenaed by the grand jury investigating former President Trump's efforts to overturn his 2020 presidential election loss in the state. The grand jury recommended prosecutors seek indictments for perjury, but offered no indication of who may have lied in their testimony. Michigan's Christina Karamo, who refused to concede her 14-point loss for Secretary of State last year, will now lead the state's Republican Party for the next 2 years.
Governments have done atrocious things to their people. Are you that naive to think it could never happen here?
Karamo touts numerous conspiracies and ran for office on unproven claims of voter fraud surrounding the 2020 presidential election. Karamo told party delegates the GOP is dying. President Biden calls the internment of 120,000 Japanese Americans during World War II one of the most shameful periods in American history, calling it what happens when racism, fear, and xenophobia go unchecked. Yesterday marked 81 years since the executive order sending the citizens to the camps, as described in a 1943 U.S. government film.
We knew that some among them were potentially dangerous. Most were loyal.
Budget analysts say a new program providing medical care to veterans exposed to toxic burn pits could add $800 billion to the debt over a decade. According to the Congressional Budget Office, the Honoring Our Pact Act will account for more than half of a deficit projected to spike to $1.5 trillion. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Groups that advocate for older Americans are speaking out about the overuse of psychotropic medications in nursing homes. Last November, the feds reported that 80% of nursing facility residents they studied received these medications, which are supposed to treat conditions like psychosis, convulsions, depression, and anxiety. But Eric Carlson, author of a new policy brief from the nonprofit Justice in Aging, says residents are sometimes being sedated as a form of chemical restraint.
Evidence suggests that nursing facilities are using these antipsychotic medications to keep residents manageable. These are, by and large, residents who have not had a history of psychiatric conditions.
This spring, the California legislature will consider Assembly Bill 48, which would require facilities to get written consent from a patient or the patient's representative before administering psychotherapeutic drugs. The California Association of Health Facilities says it is reviewing the bill and has not taken a position. California has made significant progress on this issue. Federal data show antipsychotic use for long-stay residents dropped from more than 21% in 2011 to 10.5% in 2021. Carlson says informed consent must be a bedrock principle for all patient care.
people should say, yes, I want this medication, or no, I don't want this medication. And that decision should be made after being given information on the benefits and potential risks of the medication.
The feds use the prevalence of antipsychotic medicines to rate nursing home quality, but they don't count patients with certain diagnoses like schizophrenia. The brief points out that the number of diagnoses for that condition shot up 35% after the rating system took effect in 2015. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Jonathan Goetz with the Health Alert. Pharmacies in Tijuana and other Mexican cities are selling counterfeit medicines laced with deadly fentanyl and methamphetamines, according to investigations conducted by the Los Angeles Times and by researchers from the University of California, Los Angeles. The tainted fake drugs ranged from narcotic pain pills to pills often used to treat children with attention deficit disorder. San Diego District Attorney Summer Steffen warns that these potentially lethal pills are being, quote, passed off as legitimate medicine in Tijuana and other tourist areas. Please be careful if you travel to Mexico, end quote. According to the Los Angeles Times, its reporters found that in Tijuana, pills sold as oxycodone, a prescription narcotic, tested positive for fentanyl. Pills sold as Adderall, a drug used to treat attention deficit disorder, contained methamphetamine. Out of 17 pills tested at multiple pharmacies in Tijuana, 71% tested positive for more powerful drugs than represented. Dangerous, illegal drugs were also found in pharmacies in other northern Mexico cities. Fentanyl is 50 to 100 times stronger than heroin, according to San Diego County Health and Human Services. A dose as small as 2 milligrams, smaller than a grain of sand, can kill a person. Last June, San Diego County supervisors declared a public health crisis due to fentanyl deaths. At least 743 people died of fentanyl in 2021, quadruple the number in 2019. Fentanyl accounted for 70% of all overdoses countywide in 2021. In December, supervisors approved a plan to combat fentanyl deaths locally, including making naloxone nasal spray widely available to help reverse overdoses. But a growing number of people who overdose aren't even aware that they have ingested fentanyl, which is often found laced in both street drugs such as heroin, as well as counterfeit forms of prescription medication. Fentanyl is now being manufactured in Mexico with ingredients from China and India. The phony pills typically resemble real prescription medications, and they're proving highly lucrative for smugglers and drug cartels. The discovery of fentanyl and other street drugs in pharmacies just over the border is a deadly new twist in sales of fentanyl, which is also sold illicitly not only on the streets here in the U.S., but also online via websites, social media, and other means. Many Americans as well as Mexican citizens living in the U.S. have long crossed the border to buy legitimate medications that they can't afford in the U.S., or to get pain medications over the counter after a doctor cuts off prescribing narcotics for pain. U.S. tourists and others buying medicine in Mexico have long believed pills sold in Mexican pharmacies were safe, but that's an assumption that could now prove deadly.
The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the mountains to the sea.
Famed actress Raquel Welch, who grew up in San Diego, died February 15th at her home in Los Angeles after a brief illness at age 82. Welch drew international acclaim first as a sex symbol and later as a Golden Globe Award winner for her acting talent. She was a star of movies, TV, and Broadway, but her roots and early acting jobs were here in San Diego County. Born Jo Raquel Tejada in Chicago, she moved with her family to San Diego when she was 2 years old. She began winning beauty pageants at age 14. While in high school in La Jolla, she was named Miss San Diego, Fairest of the Fair at the San Diego County Fair in Del Mar. She attended San Diego State College, now San Diego State University, on a theater scholarship, married her high school sweetheart, and landed roles in several local theater productions. Welch became a weather presenter for KFMB, the CBS station in San Diego, before moving with her husband and their two children to Dallas, where she worked as a model and cocktail waitress before stardom struck. She had several small roles in films, including an Elvis Presley movie, as well as parts in TV shows such as Bewitched and McHale's Navy, before being cast in a lead role in the sci-fi movie Fantastic Voyage, which made her a star. But it was her role in 1 Million Years BC and her iconic pose in a doe-skin bikini that made her a pin-up girl and vaulted her to international fame. She later portrayed strong female characters, breaking out of the stereotype as a sex symbol. In 1974, she won a Golden Globe Award for Best Actress in a Musical or Comedy for her performance in The Three Musketeers, later also starring in The Four Musketeers. She starred alongside many of Hollywood's leading men and broke numerous taboos. In 100 Rifles, a 1969 Western, she engaged in on-screen interracial intimacy. In Myra Breckinridge in 1970, she portrayed a transsexual heroine. Also a Broadway actress, she starred in Woman of the Year and Victor Victoria. She received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and a Golden Globe nomination for her performance in the 1987 TV drama Right to Die, portraying a woman with Lou Gehrig's disease. She went on to act in many other movies and TV shows. Welch also performed a one-woman nightclub musical act in Los Angeles for many years and also launched a line of beauty and fitness products. In addition, she performed in USO shows to entertain U.S. troops during the Vietnam War. She married and divorced three times and is survived by her two children from her first marriage. Raquel Welch once reflected on the importance of pursuing your own goals, not those of others. In her words, "Once you get rid of the idea that you must please other people before you please yourself and you begin to follow your own instincts, only then can you be successful." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, A.K. Jewell, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.
You're listening to the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.